Church has asked Elder Scott Carter to preach the message this morning. Thankful this brother has come this way. A couple of things you may not know about our preacher today. One is, I think they refer to it in Kenya, Scott is a Mzungu, which means a white man or a traveler, a rich man that travels around the world. Brother Tom Olande in Kenya, he said when they're calling you Mzungu, that means that you're a rich man that travels around the world. I talked to him the other day and he said, I've been to Kenya, been to Jamaica, and now he's going to Missouri, you know, so traveled all over. He is able to speak multiple languages. He's fluent in Tessian and common English. Just a comment there. Now, we've grown over the years to love this good brother. Thankful for the way he follows the Lord. And we're praying for him this morning. Let's pray God would bless him and use him, and that we would hear the words that he speaks as the word of God and not the word of men. So, brother, I'll turn the service over to you. Appreciate you and love you.
Of all the places that I get to go in this life, it's always good to go to a place that you can feel the presence of the Lord. And, for that, I'm ever so grateful. I covet your prayers, not just for this morning, but for my life. I wish I could tell people that it's easy, but I tell you, I war against this old flesh. But my desires would be that God would always have his way with me and in my life and what he would have me to do. I want to say to this church, thank you for an opportunity to be here today, for your confidence that I can follow what the Lord has you to do, have me to do, and I pray that you would do the same. I know there's a lot of people today that you could call, but to extend that invitation, I appreciate that. Brother Patterson, thank you for your words. When we can't pray, we can become miserable. When God's not listening, or we don't know God's listening, it's almost like we're most miserable. We need to be able to commune with God.
That's right.
We want God to commune with us. I covet your prayers this morning. I want to read, if I may, from the book of John, chapter 14. You can hold your finger there and also go to Romans chapter 8. John chapter 14 and in Romans chapter 8. As you're turning there, I want to tell you a thought that I have upon my heart these last few days. And it's something I want everybody here to know about me when you leave here. I have been adopted. When I talk about adoption here this morning, I'm not talking about a physical adoption. I want to talk to you about a spiritual adoption. Most of the time, I dive into my scripture pretty quick. But I want to tell you a few things before I do. The other night, I had gone to visit in a revival, and I was on my way home, and you know how God works. Just your heart just moves and moves and moves and moves and moves. And the people in school think I've got a hamster wheel in my brain. It never rests. It just keeps moving and moving and moving. And my heart gets full, my mind gets to moving. My heart gets full, my mind gets to moving. And in the early hours of Tuesday morning, I don't know why, I just rolled over. And all I could say was, Abba, Father. That's all I could say was, Abba, Father. As we were getting ready to leave Thursday, I lost my father several years ago, my biological father. For the first time in a long time, I'd gotten to the bottom of the steps, the back of the vehicle was raised. And all these things that were on my heart, I don't know why this happened. But for the first time in a long time, I just wanted to talk to my father. I don't know why. Usually I'm okay with the way things are, but for some reason at that moment, I just wanted to talk to my father. And I began to think and ponder deep down inside of me, how many people do not have a heavenly father that they can talk to? My father was a good man, not a perfect man, but he was a good man. I remember lots of things that he taught me, how to take care of the neighbors and not worry about getting paid for it. I remember how I used to go out with a weed eater and a push mower, had to work, and he'd make me go to the bank and set up a checking account that I still have today. He never said bad things. He never had a bad day. He was a good person. Not a perfect man, but he was a good person. This same man, at the age of 5, I didn't understand what they were teaching me that was scripturally based. What happens to us spiritually. At the age of 5, there was a 7-month-old boy that did not have a home. He's later going to become my brother, I'll tell you that. A 7-month-old I didn't know anything about. And he came into our home. And I was 5, so I didn't understand. I was the baby of the bunch at that time. There was 2 others older than me, so I was the baby of the bunch. They didn't understand about this other person coming in. They didn't understand about somebody coming into my territory, my house. A couple of years later, he was not a foster care. He got adopted. I can remember my parents sitting in a room. I walked down the hall, and you know what the conversation was about? Changing his name. That's another thing, folks. I often wonder about that new name written down in glory. Oh, I'll tell you this, folks. I understood, even as a young child, that when you're adopted, you become a part of a family. And spiritually speaking, folks, when we are saved by God's grace, we are adopted into a king's family. But I remember very plainly, the house that I was growing up in, I was walking down the hall, and I could almost take you to the spot where they were talking about a name change. And I didn't understand what was going on, but he was about to officially become part of our family. Well, they go through the court proceedings, and sure enough, that's what happened. A few years later, I don't know if I'd been out riding my bike. I don't know if I'd been playing in the dirt. I don't know if I'd been shooting basketball, what I'd been doing. But I can remember some things very plainly. And I remember I got to the point of the driver's side of the car, of which my parents owned. And he liked to have these sometimes life lesson talks with me. Folks, let me tell you something. A good father will love you and nourish you, chastise you and support you, and teach you about things in life you don't understand. I remember standing propped up on the door of that car. And I remember, maybe not in exact words, but he said, you know, I really can't explain it. We've been talking about my brother for some reason. It got on my nerves. And I was mad. I was upset. And I can remember very plainly. And I mean as plain as if you would have told me this 10 minutes ago. That he looked at me and he said, I can't explain why. I cannot explain how. But I love him just like I do you 3, as if he was my own. Folks, I want you to know something. There was a night many years ago for me that I was adopted. And I am a firm believer that God loves me just like I was His only begotten Son, Jesus. Folks, I have been adopted. I was born into a family that had the name of Carter, and I still have that name. But my earthly birth is not near as important as my being born again from above.
Amen.
I was thinking of the song, it was Thursday afternoon, that talks about how that in this world I don't have much in silver or gold. It talks about how that we don't have my house is just a cabin beside the road. But I've been adopted to a king's family. I don't have much here. Oh, but look what's waiting for me. I want to ask you a question today. Have you been adopted? Not adopted into a physical family. In my job, I deal with a lot of adoptions. I deal with people. I deal with children. But I want to tell you something, folks. The greatest thing you could ever have is a heavenly Father. And that's what we're going to read to you this morning in the book of John chapter 14. You have to understand that Jesus was talking about how he was about to leave. There was going to be an absence. You see, orphans. Orphans are people that don't have a family. They started, but they don't have one at this point. You see, I believe that when a child is, and a person is born into this world, I believe they're born of the blood of infancy. I believe if they die before they're held accountable for their sins, that they've not been held accountable. They're not going to hell. They're innocent of that. But the problem is that there comes a point in life. At some point along life's way, God reveals to us by His Holy Spirit that we are alienated and separated from Him, and we are spiritually orphans. Amen. Let me tell you something about my father. He taught me all these wonderful things. But I'm going to say one of the greatest things I loved about my father. Two brothers older than me. Very plainly remember one friend that used to come in. Absolutely drove me insane. I could dish it out, but I wasn't real good at taking it. And there was this one. I mean, he was mean. He'd pull my ears, he'd pull my nose, he'd grab a hold of me, he'd hurt me all I could. But I'll never forget the day when I saw this guy coming. And I had enough. So instead of fighting, you know what it is? I run right in the room where my daddy was at. And folks, in his presence, I was safe from even the greatest of enemies in my eyes. I undoubtedly am convinced there are people not only here but in your lives that you're afraid of what's out there. And the reason is you do not have a heavenly Father. What are you afraid of? If we've got Him, we have everything that we have. When we become orphans, we become separated from God when we do not have a heavenly Father. And Jesus was about to leave. He was talking about how that He was soon to be crucified. So all of a sudden there was a great alarm. Lord Jesus, if you are going to leave, who's going to protect us? Who's going to heal us? Who's going to teach us? Who's going to lead us? Who's going to guide us? If you are gone, what are we going to do? Jesus, I love John chapter 14. Oh, I love John chapter 14 because He's going to talk about that. He's going to say, guess what? You're in luck. Just because you're separated and alienated does not mean it's going to stay that way. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, paraclete. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Today, if you're here today and you're what we might even call a spiritual orphan, you do not have to stay that way. Amen. You have a comforter. That is God's Holy Spirit. No, Jesus is not here in the flesh. He's here in the Spirit. Matter of fact, if you'll see in the very beginning of John chapter 14, Jesus in the red letter, listen to what He said, in my Father's house. Jesus had a father. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But what I want you to see is today, He's talking about His Father. Today, that's what we want to see today. But I want to skip on over just a little bit later in the 14th chapter. In the 16th verse. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Let's do a little English this morning. Capital letter means it's talking about someone, not something. Yeah. Folks, let me tell you something about God's Holy Spirit. It's not something. Yeah. We're talking about someone. Yeah. We're not just about finding a male in your life that can be a father figure. We're talking about a specific person in your life that will adopt you into His family. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, being with a capital C there, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. I love how He's talking about a comforter being adopted today. It's about one that you cannot see. I'll tell you this, folks, you can't fit Him, though. Yeah. Neither knoweth Him. Listen to what He said. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Folks, that's pretty Baptist-y right there, if that's how I might say that. That's pretty Baptist-y right there.
You mean you tell me that we can be alienated, separated, and orphaned, and now all of a sudden that a father that we don't have spiritually, now that we don't shake a hand, hug a neck, but you mean to tell me now that we can find one in us, folks? That's exactly what happens when we are saved. He dwells in us.
Amen.
I know there's many today in this world that don't know what it's like to have a heavenly father. They know what it's like to have an earthly father. They may or may not. I don't know. But you know, today it's even worse not to have a heavenly father to talk to. Let me tell you this. My father, yes, by nature and God's will, he left this world. But I'll tell you this. My God, my heavenly father, he is never too busy. He is never going to die. He is never going to leave. He never has too busy of a plate. He never is, well, I've got to go work today, folks. He always has an ear to hear. And an arm that he can reach. Folks, today we're talking about a comforter today. For he said he will dwell in you. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Amen.
If you read that in the Greek, he says, I will not leave you like an orphan. I will come to you.
Amen.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you about an experience that I had many years ago. I sat in a church house. And I went in that night, and I want to tell you, I was an orphan in my soul. I was separated from God. I didn't go into that place saying, okay, God, here I am. And I did to that extent. But I want to tell you this, folks. God will come and visit you. You're not asking for it. God's not asking you what your opinion, your thoughts, or your ideas. God comes and visits you. We talk about conviction all the time. But that is God visiting you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, I can remember the night when God began to visit me. He said, you're without a father. And you know what? He wasn't talking about an earthly father. My earthly father was alive. He said, I'm not talking about your earthly father. He said, you're without a spiritual father. You are separated. You are alienated. You don't have anybody to protect you. You don't have anybody to watch over you. You don't have one. He said, but I do. He said, let me tell you about my father. Matter of fact, the word Abba Father, I'm going to tell you that. It's mentioned three times. One of them, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. One in Romans chapter 8. One in Galatians. We may read that in a minute. But in those three times, God is teaching us about our heavenly Father that we can go to. And that night when God began to visit me, he speaks these very same words. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Romans chapter 8, if you kept your finger there, let me turn back for just a moment. Romans chapter 8, let me read to you beginning in the 15th verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
Take note of this small lesson again. Capital A, capital F. It's talking about someone. We're going to get to Barabbas here in just a minute. We all have earthly fathers. Every one of us. Except for Jesus. He was conceived from above. But every one of us, every one of us, I know for a fact, we all have earthly fathers. But here's the sad part. Not everybody has a heavenly father. And they are spiritually orphans today. He said, listen to what he says. For you have not received the spirit, he said, of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. John chapter 14, where we read to you just a minute ago, he talks about how that he will not leave us like an orphan. Folks, today God desires that we would not be orphans, but that we would have a heavenly Father. I'm going to read to you a verse if I may, and bear with me, and I'll read the scriptures to you if I may. But going back just a little bit later in the book of James, in the very first chapter of the book of James, let me read to you James chapter 1, and in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions. Now we're going to talk about widows and the fatherless in just a moment. The Old Testament is filled with people. Talks about how that we're supposed to watch after the widows and the fatherless. Why? Because an element of protection in their life is gone. Let me tell you something, folks. People that are without a heavenly father, they are on dangerous ground.
Amen.
And I mean dangerous ground. A lot of times people say, well, if they're praying, they're in a good place. Praying is not going to get you to heaven. But reaching the throne of God will. Amen. Lots of prayers don't reach but about the ceiling, folks. We're talking about reaching the throne of God. But listen to what he said. He said that God's desires and wills, just like ours should be, to visit the widows and the fatherless. I want you to know something. I'm glad tonight that God visited me one night by His Holy Spirit. In the back of a church, I sat there. And God came to one that was fatherless. I was one today that had a need in my life, and God came to me and He provided me those things for, you see, today. That's what happens to an orphan and even a widow. We're not going to talk about the widows, but the orphans mean they don't have somebody. They don't have one. Today, I want to ask you, how empty is your life? Do you have a Heavenly Father that you can commune with, that you can talk to? I know there's times we love our earthly fathers, but I want you to know today, God is able to give us the Father that we need. And that's why we read to you there in the book of Romans just a little bit ago how it talks about how that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, when you go back and you can read the word Abba, talks about Father. And then the next one talks about Father, and it's how one stands in the place or how one. Now, that's important for you to understand. Father means to stand in the place of one. That's what happened when my dad adopted my little brother years ago. He kind of stood in the place of someone else. You know, today I'm glad today to know that I have a Heavenly Father that is not going to just stand in the place as an adoptive spiritual father. But folks, He took my place on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
You see, today we talk about here in Romans how it talks about whereby we cry to the Father. You go back and read in Mark chapter 14 how Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what Jesus said. Let me just turn back and read that so I don't butcher that up just for a minute. I'll turn back and read to you for just a moment in Mark chapter 14. Jesus Himself, as He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, listen to these words that He prayed. Mark chapter 14 and in verse 36. He had been in agony, and this is what He said and back at 35th verse. And He went forward a little and fell on the ground. And prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. Now remember, we talk about Abba Father. Father taking a place of someone. Folks, today I want you to know he took our place. He said, Lord, God, if it be Your will. He said, Father. Let me rephrase that. He's talking to His Father. He said, if there's any other way that man can be redeemed. He said, now's the time. But I want to tell you something. It's expedient. It was necessary. For Jesus to die. Why? Because we all needed a spiritual father. Someone that could help us in a time of need to protect us from the greatest harm of death and sin and hell that could protect us. But He prayed that very thing. He said, Lord, if Thou were my pastor, me. And He said, Abba, Father. All things are possible unto Thee. This is Jesus talking to His daddy now. This is Jesus talking to His Father. He said, Abba, Father. He said, all things are possible. He said, God, if You've devised any other plan, any other means, any other way that man can be redeemed. He said, let's do that. But listen to what He said. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. These three places He talks about. Abba, Father. Matter of fact, what was the other place? Go back to the book of Galatians for just a moment. Bear with me. Galatians chapter 4. And in verse 6. Back up to verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Once we are adopted. Now, wait a minute. We're going to talk about the legality of adoption in a minute, the Lord will allow. But I want to tell you something. When He talks about being adopted, you do not get rights and privileges before adoption. It's after you have been adopted. Listen to what He says. And because ye are sons. You are, He said, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, the other morning I woke up and all I could say was Abba Father. Went right back to sleep not long after that, but all I could say was Abba Father. Abba, talking about Abraham. You knew who Abraham was. He was not the only person to have faith in God. He was just the beginning, folks. Let me tell you this. When Abraham began to have faith in God that there was a better place awaiting for him than what he had now, folks, Abraham truly understood what it was like to have a relationship with God. Folks, mankind, 2017, man would understand what it's like to have a relationship with God if we would just let go of what we have here and now and realize God has something better awaiting for us. I thought about that song. This says, that I don't have much here, but look what's waiting for me. Why? Because I have been adopted. And in these three places where Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where we read to you there in the book of Romans chapter 8, there's other verses, we may go back and read those in a minute. But even here in the book of Galatians, in all three places, it talks about Abba Father with a capital A and a capital Abba and capital F for the Father. Abba Father, talking about someone. Now, pause that whole thought for just a moment. And I want to tell you about a man by the name of Barabbas. I'm not going to ask you a question because I'd probably embarrass myself, but you know the word Barabbas in the Arabic language? You know what it means? Abba, Father. Bar Abba, Rabbas means Father. Let me tell you a little bit about Barabbas. Jesus was about to be crucified. He had been arrested, falsely accused, but in the eyes of the people, they were justified in the sin that he had committed. He was in jail. Barabbas was in jail. Both of them. Same place, same time. But what happened to Barabbas? He was a murderer. Barabbas was guilty of murder. Passover time. Well, somebody's going to get lucky. It's time of the Passover. Somebody that's guilty in the eyes of the people is going to be set free. Somebody's going to be set free. Now remember what it means to be an orphan? You're shackled and you're bound because you do not have a heavenly father. Barabbas was one that he was guilty of all that he'd been accused of. Jesus, on the other hand, we all know that Jesus was not guilty of the crime by which he was accused of. At least in the eyes of God. Here's the problem. You got one that was a murderer that was taking life. Jesus came to give life. You got one that was guilty on one side. You got one on the other side, folks, that I believe was innocent. The Bible said, he that knew no sin, he died for sin. Amen. You got a sinner and you got one that was not a sinner. You got one today. Barabbas means he was the son of a father. Jesus was the son of the Father.
Amen.
You interpret out in the Arabic language. Barabbas is with a lowercase letter. And a lowercase meaning. It's just talking about how he had a father. We all have fathers. But oh, how that Jesus is not just the son of any father, folks. He is the Son of God.
Amen.
He is the Son of God. When I tell you this morning that I have been adopted today, I have been adopted by an almighty God. A God today that said, let there be light, and I was. A God today that can speak to the sea and say, peace, be still. And then they even question, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey his command, folks. That is my heavenly Father.
Amen.
That is God today. Nothing amazes me with God. And I mean absolutely nothing amazes me with God. Jesus is not just the son of any man, folks. I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, that's at the core of what we believe. Not the son of a Roman soldier. You can debate whether he was adopted. Adopted means you took the right away from the father. I'll tell you this, Joseph was an earthly parent to him to guide him. But I'll tell you this, he was always God's only begotten son.
Amen.
Oh, and I want you to know something, Barabbas. Go back and read Leviticus chapter 14. When they would sacrifice the birds, you know what they would always do? Oh, they would always take the two birds and they would take one. And they would sleeve the sacrifice of the one with the water in the basin. They would take the second bird. They would dip it in the blood of the first one. And that second bird, if you would see that second one flying around, you knew that the only reason that bird was free was because of the sacrifice of the other.
Man.
Folks, today I want you to know something very, very plain today. The only reason I'm free is because of the sacrifice of Jesus.
Amen.
Not just my blood, but it's His blood. Right. The blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. The blood represented nothing just as long as it was in a basin, folks. The purpose of the blood was it must be applied.
Amen.
Oh, you want to talk about being adopted today, folks? It's available. I have no question today that God wants to adopt you into His family. I have no doubts about that. The question is, what about you? You know, today I learned when my father adopted my little brother that they didn't have to do that. That was something they wanted to do, folks. God don't have to save us, but thanks be unto God, He will. Oh, I tell you this, folks. God desires to save us. Do you feel orphaned this morning? Do you feel like that you don't have a heavenly father? He's talking about all these places here that Barabbas was one today that he deserved to die. And you know what the crowd said. The crowd began to cry. I said, Pilate, and he tried to, was it three or four times? He tried to tell him, he said, I want you to know something, Jesus is innocent. But they kept saying, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Oh, you know what's sad? It's that the son of a father got set free, while the son of the father paid the penalty.
Amen.
Folks, today, let me, do you find any kind of justification or any kind of rationale in that? We didn't deserve to be set free.
Amen.
But He did. We didn't deserve to be adopted. But we have been. Oh, we've got a Heavenly Father today. What about you? You may be sitting there right now and your heart is absolutely about to pound out of you because you have nobody to talk to about anything. You don't have a Heavenly Father. You don't have one that you could commune with. Today, I pray today that you would have that experience with God. For today, read John chapter 3. It says, you must be born again.
Amen.
Again, I want to go back to what I said a few minutes ago. Undoubtedly, you all have a father. I know that. Let me tell you something. No matter how good, and we could probably sit up here and compare fathers all day long, and I know yours were much better than mine. He was a good man, but not a perfect man. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to heaven based on a good man. I'm not going to heaven based on what my father did. Excuse me. What my earthly father did. I'm going to heaven because of what my Heavenly Father did.
Yeah.
And that was through the work of His Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. Capital C, I'm going to send you someone in your life. God knows the elements of this life and how limited they are, folks. God knows that there's only so much that your mothers and your fathers can do. That's why He says, why don't you join into my family? Oh, we may get into that in just a minute, but I want to tell you something, folks. We're not just adopted by somebody that can supply our basic needs. We have been adopted to a king's family.
Right.
Oh, that gets me stirred up when I think about how that we have become joint heirs with Him and what we are.
Amen.
Today we've been adopted. Does adopted change us? Oh yeah, look at Moses. Moses should have died, but guess what? He got adopted. I love the story about Esther. Oh, do I love the story about Esther? You ever read the story of Esther? Esther lost both of her parents. She was absolutely sinking. She was orphaned. She didn't have a parent. Her cousin Mordecai came along. You know what Mordecai did? He adopted her.
Man.
You know what happened after that she was adopted? King wanted his wife to go out and pray how beautiful she was in front of everybody. And probably anybody, long story short, the king got to looking for another wife. So you know what happened? You guess it, Esther. After she was adopted, after Mordecai gave her guidance on where to go and how to do that, Esther finally becomes the queen. And I love to read the account that how immediately, once he met her, he crowned her. You talking about rags to riches? One that had absolutely nothing. Mordecai adopts her, and not long after being adopted, now all of a sudden that she's wearing a crown, that she is a queen? Folks, today when you are adopted, I'm telling you, your life will change. Change. What do I mean by that? Oh, yes, it is. That's what he's talking about here in the book of Romans, how that our life is changing. How that we are adopted, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let me tell you something else about adoption. Adoption is, you know, I can go out on the streets and I can take somebody in. We all the time in school, we get into these legal custody issues. All the time, we're talking about custody. And I always have to go back to what the judge has said. That's what I always do. I have to go back to the paperwork. You give me the paperwork. You give me the proof. That's who has the rights to these children. That's what we do. But I want to tell you something about adoption. It's not like he's just going out here, taking somebody into his family and saying, okay, I'm going to treat you is one of my own. That happens a lot in our society. I'm thankful for that. People kind of take a stranger in and say, I'll take care of you, I'll feed you. Now, I'm going to legally do this, but I'm just going to bring you in. That's not what we're talking about. But I want to tell you something. There's a difference in being in someone's house and being a part of someone's house.
Amen.
For example, there's a difference in being in a church service and being a part of the church.
Amen.
Two different things. And I'm not going down that road. Two different things. But I want to tell you something about adoption. It's done legally. And there's one small thing I know about legality. If you do it right, and you do it within the bounds of the law, that there is not a judge that can overrule what you have done. Folks, today when we talk about adoption, when God says you are adopted into His family, there is not a gavel heavy enough nor powerful enough to undo what God has done.
Amen.
When you become adopted, you are His eternally.
Amen.
Folks, I can remember that night in March when God struck the gavel down and it was finally signed, sealed, and delivered. I had been adopted.
Amen.
I had a Heavenly Father and I had somebody I could talk to. I had somebody I could pray to. I had somebody that could guide me, give me advice, show me what to do, folks. When Isaiah talked about how that he was going to be the wonderful counselor, I'll tell you this. He's the best counselor I've ever had in my life. He'll tell me what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. It's up to me to follow along with that. But he tells them here that in the book of Romans how that we are adopted today. And when we become adopted legally, we become an heir with Him, a joint heir with Him. We become part of what is His. But I love the old Roman law was if you was going to be an adopter, you had to be male and you had to be childless. I don't believe Jesus has any biological children. Matter of fact, I know that. Then how are all these people going to be in heaven? You remember the song we sang in the very beginning? His blood has made us one. I'm not going to get scientific on you, but what's the purpose of blood in our body? It circulates, cleanses, gives us oxygen, all that stuff it does. But you know what it is? It's like dirt trying to clean dirt. That's why we had to have the blood of righteousness. Oh, we're talking about a Heavenly Father imputed into us to cleanse us. Let me tell you, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Not our blood, but His blood. And how we see here in this book of Romans chapter 8 how that we have been adopted, He said. For He says, for you have not received, Romans 8:15, if you never received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Why have we been adopted today? Why? You want to answer that question? You might be able to answer that question. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. We're adopted today not because we have earned it. We're adopted today because of His grace.
Amen.
Ephesians. Let me read you for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Today, why does God want to adopt you? Why does He want to save you? Why don't you want to just stay in the miserable state you're in? I said in the very beginning, and I'm going to say it again. I have been adopted.
Amen.
My physical father, my heavenly father, two different people. No matter how much we admire, love, cherish, whatever it is, my heavenly father is above all things. Remember when Jesus was talking about who His true kin was and the crowd gathered in? He talked about how that, you know, your family's without there. And He says, no, these are my true kin. He's talking about those being obedient. Those that are following after. Folks, say Jesus loves His family that are obedient to what He would have you to do.
Amen.
Today, let me ask you, are you obedient to Him and what He would have you to do? What is your inheritance? Where is your inheritance? What is it that you're going to have? In the book of Psalms, I thought of a verse in the book of Psalms, if I may read it for just a minute. Psalms chapter 68. Psalm 68, listen to what He says in the fifth verse. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God said of the solitary in families, He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. In other words, He can set you free. But the rebellious, He said, they dwell on the dry land. Let me tell you something about being adopted. God is not going to force you to listen to Him. He opens up that door. But you know what? I'm afraid there's a lot of people. You might even be here. You're in that barren land and you're bound and you're shackled. And God has come to you with an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today, can you say, can you cry, Abba, Father? Can you say that you have a heavenly Father today, not just an earthly Father? We're talking about a heavenly Father today. Before I read you this, book of 1 John, if I may, for just a moment. 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to close. 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Folks, when God saves us, He changes something in us. Now, justification, sanctification. I said I was going to hush, and I will. You know what the difference in the two? One saves us from the legal sense, one saves us from the moral sense. Justification is a legal term. We are legally justified and separated. We are legally separated today, folks. Did you hear today? When God does that, He changed us legally. And here we're seeing how that God changes us morally. That's the new creature that Paul talks about. It's the new creature that's within us. Today, do you have a heavenly Father? I'm done this morning. That's what's on my heart. I want us to get a song today. Do you feel like you're an orphan this morning? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. Today, do you feel like you're sitting there all alone? Do you feel like you're orphaned? You don't have a father. I long for my earthly father today for the first time in a long time. I long to talk to my earthly father. But the good part was, not long after I got to longing to talk to my earthly father, I just turned right around and spoke to my heavenly father. Today, do you have anybody to talk to? Do you have anybody to cast your cares upon? My dad had limitations. My heavenly father doesn't. Try and see. Today, I've been adopted. As we stand together and sing this song.